Our daf is really one long arichas about the life and times in the family of Choni HaMagal. That's really what the daf is, and about all the davenings and the miracles. But within it, there's a lot of intricate ideas and interesting things to pull out. So the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud tells the following famous story, that there were hooligans. There were people who were persecuting Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir had enough of these people who were harassing him and giving him a terrible time. And he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem should kill these people, Hashem should wipe them out of the world so that they shouldn't bother them anymore. So Bruria, Rabbi Meir's famous wife, heard what her husband was planning to do. So she said, "What are you doing? You must think that the Pasuk says, Yitamu chatai min ha'aretz, that the evil should be wiped out from the land. But it doesn't say chotim, the people who sin should be wiped out from the land. It says chatayim, the sins should be wiped out from the land." And Rabbi Meir was then told by his wife Bruria that the best thing to do is not to daven that people who are evil, people who do the wrong thing, should be punished, but rather daven they should do tshuva, that their sins should be wiped away. And that's what happened. And at the end of the day, he davened, and they stopped bothering him, and the people did tshuva as well. So the Sefer Charedim, in the Mitzvah Satshuva, says that the bracha of Hashivenu, that we daven for, the bracha of tshuva, is the most important bracha in Shmona Esrei, because that is a bracha that is a refuah for the neshama. You're asking the Kadosh Baruch Hu to heal your neshama, to do tshuva, to go in, to operate, to take away all the bad things in the neshama, and to make the neshama better. And just like one has to daven for himself, says the Sefer Charedim, when it comes to the mitzvah of tshuva, you should also daven for other people to do tshuva as well. There's a mitzvah in that bracha of Hashivenu to daven that people who are not on the derech, people who are distant from Shomer Torah and mitzvos, should become from and come back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the place to daven for those people who are away from Hashem. And he cites the Gemara in Sotah, Daf Yudalid, where Moshe says praises Moshe for davening for the people who sinned by the Egel Azav. Moshe did the right thing, that they should do tshuva and not do this anymore. And then he quotes our Gemara in Tanis. Now, the Gilin HaShas Rabbi Kiv Eger in Brachos cites our Gemara, and here in Tanis, the Gilin HaShas cites the Gemara in Brachos. So they're the same story in the eyes of Rabbi Kiv Eger. And our Gemara is telling us that the wife of Abba Chilkiah was answered first before Abba Chilkiah when it came to davening for rain. And the reason is because she would daven that the non-observant people, the non-from people in her community, would just do tshuva. And this is also cited by the Shlad Maseches Yuma as well. Listen to this fascinating point. In the Pre-Eitz Chaim, Rav Chaim Vital records that the Alshech, or Moshe Alshech, who is known for his famous commentary on the Torah, the Alshech was also the Darshan in Sfas at that time. We've noted this before, but Sfas had one of the greatest community collectives of all time, where you had the Beis Yosef and Hashem Alkabitz and the Alshech and Rav Moshe Cordovero all davening in the same shul, and the Alshech HaKadosh gave the Shabbat Shuvah Drasha to all of them. That's a very chashuv Shabbat Shuvah Drasha. So the Alshech had a son, and Rav Chaim Vital records that the Alshech's son left Judaism. It doesn't say exactly what he was. It sounds like he was Meshumah, that he went to Christianity. But he says the Alshech's son left Yiddishkeit. And the Alshech asked the Arizal to daven for his son to do tshuva and to come back. So the Arizal told the Alshech that you should daven for your son in the brach of Hashivenu. And in the brach of Hashivenu, you should daven for those people who are distant from Judaism to come back to Yiddishkeit. And he gave him a special tefillah. The tefillah is there in the Pri Eitz Chaim, what to say when you daven for somebody who's not from. And he repeats this as well in the Shar Ruach HaKodesh, in the Hakdama, Dalet, and Yichud on page Ayin Vav, the same Yisod, that you can daven for someone who is off the derech, who is distanced from Torah Mitzvos, in that brach of Hashivenu, and that's what that brach is for yourself, but also for other people. We often miss that opportunity. We don't realize that, because it's always in the form of Hashivenu, that we should be brought back. But we all know people who are, you know, not where they should be in their observance of Mitzvos and their connection to Hashem. And that is a place to daven for people you know, respect, and love to come back to the world of Shmiras HaMitzvos. The Maharsha has a problem with this. On that Gemara in Brachos, the Maharsha asks, what about the concept of Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim? Everything in the hands of Hashem except for Yira Shemayim. That means every individual can decide what they want to do with their Yira Shemayim. How can you daven to Hashem to change another person's Yira Shemayim? Hashem doesn't touch that area. Isn't that a tefillah shav? Isn't that a wasteful tefillah? because Hashem told us that He's not going to change another person's Yirat Shamayim. So how can I daven for another person to become from when that is an area that Hashem tells us that He's not going to touch? And he leaves the matter as v'yesh liyashev. He says, I don't have an answer. I think it's a big problem to go and daven for somebody else to change their spirituality and to be more observant. So the Marsha is not the only one bothered by this. The Me'il Tzedakah. The Me'il Tzedakah is a great acharon, his chuvos. So he writes in Siman Zion. He was asked about the case of a father and a son who were Meshumma. They left Judaism and went to Christianity. And the question is, can you daven for the father and son to come back to Yiddishkeit? So the Me'il Tzedakah begins by noting, Hakol bidei Shemayim, chus mi'ir Shemayim. Everything is in the hand of Hashem except for one's frumkeit, one's religiosity, one's amunah. So how can a person go and daven that somebody else should go and do such a thing? Therefore, it could be that it's a tefillah shav and Hashem will not interfere on a person's own Yirat Shamayim. But he says that's not the case, because we actually know that Hashem does engage in touching on people's bechira. Perhaps most famously, Paro. Hashem went and changed Paro's bechira. So Hashem will go and do it under the right circumstances. Or the Pasuk in Mishlei says that Lev Melech Biad Hashem, the hands of kings, the hands of leaders of countries, are in the hands of Hashem, that Hashem controls what the leaders of countries do. So we see it's not 100% clear that Hashem won't go and change a person's bechira, status, things like that, when necessary. Therefore, he notes that it's not a tefillah shav, it's not a wasteful tefillah to ask Hashem to make someone else do tshuva. And then he notes the Gemara in Brachos about Rabbi Meir, and our Gemara as well, with Abba Chilki and his wife. And he says, perhaps in that case, they didn't know about Torah mitzvahs. It weren't that they were rebelling, they just didn't know better about Yiddishkeit. In addition, he wants to add one other heter. He says, when you daven for somebody else that they should come back to Torah mitzvahs, you're not only davening for them, you're davening for yourself as well. Because it's in your best interest that you should have people around who are from. You're davening for a family member, a relative, a friend. That's also for you. You want also, that for your own benefit, that person should be, you know, close to Hashem, have amunah, and be on the right path as well in their avodas Hashem. The Chazon Ish has no problem at all with davening for somebody else's amunah to change. He writes at the very, very end of the Chazon Ish on Orach Chaim. There they have Ha'aros and Chumash. So in Ha'aros and Chumash, the Chazon Ish writes, Aval ha'adam rishai l'hachriach esreyehu l'avodaso yisparach bein bekefia bein bepitui v'lo havi bitul ha'bechira. You're allowed to cause a person to daven to Hashem to come back to Yiddishkeit, and it's not an issue of bechira. Why? Listen to the beautiful chap of the Chazon Ish. Why is not a violation of a person's free choice for you to daven that they should become from again? Because we're all one people. And all the Jewish people should be serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm not just davening for you. It's all the giant bechira, the singular Yirat Shamayim of the Jewish people. And therefore, it's in the interest of the Jewish people that we should all connect to Hashem and have Yirat Shamayim. Now, in the Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Akiva Eiger also cites the Zohar. The Zohar says, in the Medrash Nelam and Parshas Vayera, he writes in the Pasuk, HaMechas Ani Me'Avram, will I keep this idea from Avram Avinu, because Avram was going to daven for the people of stone. So he said, the Zohar says, mitzvah levake shirachim al posh Yisrael. It's a mitzvah to daven for the people who are distanced from Torah mitzvos, sheyachzru b'tshuva. They should come back with tshuva. So we see that there is a machlokes, but the very, very dominant opinion, the Marsha seems to be alone, even the Me'il Tzedakah is okay with it. The dominant opinion is that you can daven in the bracha of Hashiveinu, that those people who are not from should become from and connect back to Torah mitzvos. However, there is somebody in the camp of the Marsha. There's nobody less than the Chafetz Chaim. Where? So the Gemara in Sotel Lama Dalet says that when Kalev and Yehoshua went out with the spies, so Moshe only davened for one of them. Who did he daven for? Yehoshua, right? Kalev went to Maris Machpelah, and he went to Hebron. But Moshe only davened for Yehoshua. So the Gemara says, how come Moshe didn't daven for Kalev as well? So the Gemara says because he had a Ruach Acheres. He was a different type of person. So the Rishonim and the Achronim struggle, what does that mean that he was a different type of person? Because he's a different type of person, he shouldn't get a tefillah. So the Rechaim says, and others say that he had a different mahalach and how to deal with these things. The Chavetz Chaim al HaTorah in Parsha Shlach says the following. Listen to this. He says there are two types of tzaddikim. There is a tzaddik who protests loudly as soon as he sees the wrong thing, who gets up and makes a mecha. And the other tzaddik is the person who doesn't say anything, but instead he waits for the opportunity to, you know, put his arm around the person, to speak to the person nicely. He's not running around screaming and shouting. He waits for the opportunity to speak his piece and try to get people on his side. So says the Chafetz Chaim, each tzaddik has a maila and a chisara. The person who gets up and shouts and says, you can't do this, he's never going to be influenced by anyone. Because he's already starting a fight before the fight even gets off the ground. Nobody's going to convince him and get his Yetzirah to come to the dark side. But what's the other issue? What's the problem with such a tzaddik? Nobody listens to him. Because he upsets everyone, and he never gets anybody to do tshuva. On the other hand, the tzaddik who sits and waits and is quiet, so he can get people to come back to the Torah. He can get people to do the right thing because he comes and he talks with them, they have a schmooze, they go out for coffee, and eventually gets them back on the right side. But what's the chisaron, what's the downside of such a tzaddik? He can be influenced by the Yetzirah, because the Yetzirah can creep in on him and slowly but surely perhaps turn him to the other side as well. So Moshe knew that Kalev and Yehoshua were each one of these tzaddikim. Kalev was the quiet tzaddik, who planned, he has a whole, you know, seminar, a whole Baal Tshuva seminar, a whole Kirov episode going on. He's going to work and take his time. And for him, he's going to get the people, hopefully, to listen to him. But what's the issue with him? He can get pushed to the other way. He can get pushed to the other side because he waits and he waits and he waits. Yehoshua, on the other hand, is different. Yehoshua was the type of person who was going to get up and shout and scream. So, but on the other hand, no one is going to listen to him. So Yehoshua, was he ever going to be affected by the other people's Yetzirah? No. Yehoshua was strong. He was a fighter. No one was going to tell him what to do. Says the Chafetz Chaim, because the rule is that you can't daven for another person's ruchnius, for another person's Yetzirah to be thrown away and for the Yetzer Tov to overcome it, therefore, he couldn't daven for Kalev. It was impossible. The only thing Kalev needed protection from was what? That the Meraglim shouldn't influence him to do the wrong thing. There was no issue for that for Yehoshua. Kalev needed davening for his ruchnius. But says the Chafetz Chaim, Moshe knew you can't daven for a person's ruchnius. And therefore, there was nothing he could do. Kalev was on his own. He had to go to Chevron to daven by Kivrei Tzaddikim. But Yehoshua, was his issue his Yetzirah? Was there any question on Yehoshua's ruchnius? No. He was a strong wall who would never be pushed over. And therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, what was the only thing to daven for Yehoshua? That the Meraglim shouldn't kill him for being such an annoying person who's following them along. They can't do this, you're driving too fast, you can't go here, they're going to kill him. And therefore, he had to daven not for Yehoshua's ruchnius, but for his physical well-being. And therefore, the Chafetz Chaim says this squares up all the Gemaras. But what do we see at the end of the day? The Chafetz Chaim held, you can't daven for a person's ruchnius. A person's ruchnius is only up to them. So in one camp we have the Maharsha and the Chafetz Chaim, not an insignificant camp, but this seems to be that the shita of most of the opinions is that we do daven for people's ruchnius. Certainly parents daven for children and grandchildren and things like that. And this comes out from our discussion. Can you daven for a person's tshuva besides for yourself? Okay.